Again, the series today we start is to help us all get ready for that, not just for the restart week on the 15th, but I really think kind of reboot us for 2018. You know, if you call any tech support people, and those of you who are fellow techies and nerds, like I'll be honest, I'm a nerd. I love all things gadgets and electronics, and it drives me nuts when you call in for help and people say, "Well, did you restart it?" Yes, I restarted it like 1,000 times and it doesn't. Well, just do it one more time. What makes you think it's going to be different? Because I restart it when you tell me to versus when I just think of it on my own. And so I asked a lady on tech support that one time and she said, "Well, that's just what it says on the screen. That's what we have to do." And I just hung up. I was like, if you don't know any more than you can read on the screen, then you can't help me. So restarting, I think sometimes just kind of it refreshes everything. It clears out everything so that you can deal with what's the issues are at hand. See, we need to renew this idea in our hearts. And this is not on your sheet. I just want to throw it up here so you can kind of make these notes. We need to renew this idea that our God still speaks. I say that our God, as the Christian faith, as those who follow Christ, it just breaks my heart to hear people say, "Well, you know, I asked God, he's not talking to me," or even preachers and pastors say, "Well, you know, you just got to read God's word, because if you don't get it out of there for yourself, and God doesn't speak to us anymore, the Bible says that's dead and gone." That's not true. We have the only God, the Bible says, that is alive today, that speaks to us regularly, that talks to us just like you and I talk, and we need to remember that. Second, you need to refresh this idea that you can hear him. You'd be amazed how many Christians believe that they can't hear God. They'll come to me and say, "Hey, Clint, will you or Melanie, will y'all pray for me because I really need some wisdom on this?" And I will pray asking God to give them wisdom, but then they say, "Well, I just can't hear God." See, that's not true. I don't think God has a speaking problem. We have a listening problem. God speaks, but our issue is in the listening. You know, the Bible says seven different times in the New Testament, in Revelation, God says to the seven churches, if you had ears to hear, then do what? Then listen. There's a difference between just hearing and listening. I'm guilty, just like probably all of us as husbands are, when my wife's talking. I hear her, but what? I ain't listening. And if you're not careful, you agree to stuff, and then you wonder, "Well, when did I agree to do this?" Well, you weren't listening. You were hearing, not listening. But the Bible says, those who have ears to hear, let them listen. So the idea for us is that in 2018, that we can listen and then follow and take our one step. If you're new to us here, you'll see it on the windows, on the back of the sign when you go out, this hashtag one step. That's us every day taking one step from where we are, one step closer to where God wants us to be. If we can do this in 2018, I promise you when we come back next December, your life will not be the same. It can't, because you can't encounter God and follow him and end up in the same place that you're sitting now. Then we will not miss anything that God has for us in 2018. So let's take this look at this verse in John 10. It's going to be our theme for the next couple weeks. And we'll start here and then go a different direction each week. But we're going to start here. In John 10, verse 3, it says, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him." That him is Jesus, the shepherd. "Then he and the sheep listen to his voice." Listen to his voice. Make note of that. "He calls his own sheep by what? By name." So you need to know that. Here's a little rabbit trail for you. God knows you by your name. You are not number 1,173,204. God knows you by your name. The Bible is very clear that he even knows the number of hairs or the lack of numbers of hairs on your head. That's how specific God knows us. And we need to know that. It's important, because if you don't understand that he knows you closely, then it makes it a little harder to listen for his voice. It says he calls his own sheep by name and then does what? Leads them out. He directs them out. He takes them where they need to go. He doesn't just call them out and say, "Shoo, good luck." He leads them. "When he has brought out all his own," there's another nugget. He didn't brought out all of them. He's not leaving anybody behind. And then there's this verse is what I hope is our verse for 2018. that he goes ahead of them and his sheep follow them because they know his voice. But they will not follow a stranger or competing voices. In fact, they'll run away from him. Him is that that competing voice, that they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Again, I'm going to put it up on the screen again. John 10, verse 4. He goes on ahead of them. Go back to where you were. You were good. There you go. He goes on ahead of him. And is what? Sheep follow. God's going ahead of us. If you've got to believe before we start 2018 in the morning that God is already there. We're in 2017. God's already in 2018 taking care of business. The Bible says when he gets us all together, he leads us and then he goes in front of us, making a way for us. And they follow him because what? They know his voice. If you can say that, if when we're finished with January and we finish the week, the restart week, and you can say, I don't know a whole lot, I can't explain a lot of stuff, but I do know this, I can hear his voice. I watched an old show the other day. I don't know if you've ever remember that Mythbusters show. Where they did a Mythbusters show. Could somebody who's never flown a plane on a jetliner be talked down through somebody on the ground who knows what they're doing? And they did it twice. The first time they put this guy in an airplane who had never flown an airplane before. And having flown some, I understand the concept, and I could put a plane on the ground if I needed to. And I laughed because as soon as they said go, he just crashed the plane. They're in a big real-life simulator. He just crashes it. And then they do it again, start over, and they have a guy in his ear telling him, here's what to look for. Okay, watch this. Keep your wings level. Keep the nose up. Reduce your speed. Drop your flap. Blah, blah, blah. Goes through all the process. And this guy who had never landed a plane before landed a plane. What it proves to me is that we don't have to be able to explain it, but we have to be able to hear his voice. I can't explain to you some of the theology and why people argue over in these deep, complex things. I'm just not that smart. But I do know this. I can hear his voice. And if he says turn, I turn. If he says keep my wings level, I keep my wings level. If he says climb, I climb. If he says dive, I dive. Go faster, go slower. That's all I need to do. I need to understand to hear his voice. This one's not in your notes, but it says in Proverbs chapter 3, I love this version in the message. It says, listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, he's the one that will what? Keep you on track. See, we like to think we keep ourselves on track. I keep myself in check. I think right, I do right, everything will be right. That's not the way it happens. The Bible says that you need to listen for God's voice in everything that we do. I don't know who this is, but if you're like even me, there's some decisions I need to make as I leave 2017 going into 2018 that are critical. And I don't know if you're facing maybe a critical decision, to change a job, to move, to buy, to sell, to whatever it is. But that makes it even more critical that we hear and understand and listen to his voice. That yearly resolutions, again, are proof that we can't do it. We fall apart. It doesn't work. We can't blame it on God that he's not speaking because he speaks. Again, when God doesn't have a speaking problem, we have a listening problem. God's always talking. He's always directing us. The Bible says he goes out with us and he's walking with us. Jesus even points this out in a great parable. And I'm going to show you a verse within the verse first. In Luke chapter 8, verse 8, it says that God, or anyone with ears to hear, should do what? Listen and understand. Again, he says it all through the Revelation. If you have ears to hear, listen. And this is Jesus telling the disciples a parable. And this is the parable he says. We'll go back to Luke 8, verse 5 now. It says, a farmer went out to plant his seed, and he scattered it across the field. Some seed fell on a footpath. In other words, it's where it's going to get walked on, where it was stepped on. And then the birds ate it. In other words, and this something took it. Something caused it not to be where it could produce any fruit. 8:6 says, other fell among the rocks. It began to grow, but then the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. There's other things competing for the little moisture that is here. us living in the South and having dry, hot summers sometimes understand when you see stuff, the stuff that is living is the thing that's survived and got the moisture and nothing else has the moisture. The big trees have the roots that go down deep and grab moisture when the grasses and all die because they can't do that. Luke 8:7, other seed fell among the thorns that grew up with it and then did what? Choked it out. The new plants that's trying to take root, that's trying to make headway, the Bible says that it got choked out. And then in verse 8, here's the verse leading into what we just read. Still other seed fell on fertile soil, good soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. When he had said this, now Jesus is saying, now he says, here's the verse we read, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Now we've gone from hearing to listening, and then listening now to understanding. Understanding what the voice of God is trying to tell us. So you need to understand that the seed he's talking about is God's Word. And you can't just say it's just reading the Bible, because in the days of the disciples, they didn't have the Bible as we know it. They had Jesus there listening to him. So I say that seed is not only the Word of God, but that's the voice of God, his voice speaking to us. It may sometimes, the Bible says in our whole, by the Spirit of God within us, that we hear his voice internally. Some people have, and I haven't done this, I know that people have told me they've heard an audible voice of God. He can and does still speak. God's speaking us, he's leading us, and we have to overcome this hearing, listening problems. I remember when my grandfather, my mom's dad, he's been dead for over 10, 15 years now, but I remember he was an electrician, so he worked in a loud environment all the time, and so as he got older, he had to get hearing aids. But this was back when the hearing aids were just like monstrous things on the side of your head. And we used to laugh at him because the hearing aids would crowd out everything else. If he was in a loud room, he could hear nothing. It would just amplify the noise in the room. Now they have them where you can wear them and it somehow singles out the voices and you can hear somebody talking to you. But then on the other side, when he was just in a room with just a few people and it wasn't very loud, he would turn them up. Well, what happens when you turn those up? Does anybody remember? They squeal. So we would be sitting in a room together and you just hear, and we're all looking at my grandfather like, can you turn him down? And he's smiling, and we're trying to talk to him. And finally you wave at him and scream at him, and he would reach up and turn him down, and then you tell him, they're squealing. He'd go, oh. Well, then after a while, he got tired of that. It got embarrassing for him, so he just put his hearing aids in and turn them off. Now he really can't hear anything. The funny thing was, though, that when he got rid of the noise and put the hearing aids in, thinking he could hear just the one voice, even that got drowned out. The voice that he was trying to listen to got drowned out, so he just turned it all off. Well, see, we do that to God. God isn't a voice. God is trying to speak to us, but we have all this other stuff in the world trying to speak to us, and it gets confusing, and then when we do have a chance to hear God, we don't recognize him, so we think he's not talking to us, so we just turn him off. And then just go, okay, God, you're just going to have to lead me. If you want me to go that way, then let this tree fall that way. Or if you want me to go that way, then let the guy in front of me turn that way. Or if you want me to do this, then we start making all these bargains with God. And I think God's probably just going, why? I can just tell you. I don't need to send you this magical sign. I can tell you. But see, in this parable, Jesus does something he doesn't do in a lot of other parables. Jesus actually, the disciples say, basically to Jesus when he tells them the parable, the disciples go, huh? What? So Jesus in this instance says, well, I'm going to explain it to you. So what we're going to do in the next few minutes, I'm just going to give you Jesus' words. And he begins to talk about and explain that the ground he's talking about is the condition of a heart. Because if we want to listen to God and we want to hear his voice, the Bible's very clear. It starts with the condition of a heart. You can't hear God if your heart's not right. And Jesus begins to lay this out and explain this, and he begins to tell them, identifying the conditions, different conditions of a heart. And I promise you that in this room, for all of us, one of these fit. One of these four will fit you. There is no, That's not me. One of these will fit you. So let's go back and look, and we'll start in verse 12, where Jesus begins to now explain. This is Luke 8, verse 12. It says, the seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message, only to have who come? The devil come and do what? And take it away from their hearts, preventing them from believing and being saved. In other words, some of you in the room today, you're looking at me, and you're here, but mentally you're in Aruba. And I could be telling you that I'm going to give you all $1 million, and everybody's excited, and you're nodding and clapping, and you walk out of here, and somebody goes, hey, isn't that amazing? We're going to get $1 million, and you go, huh? Because you just tuned out. The seed was thrown, but something came in and stole it. Something came in. Why? Because here's your first one. Because if this fits you, there's a pollution in the air. There's a polluted heart. The devil is very good at stirring the mud. It's not hard at all for the devil to pollute the ground, to fog things up so you can't really figure out who's talking and what's going, or even if God does speak, you don't even recognize it because everything else is covered up. And it usually comes in one of two ways. One is our own decision. The things we decide to let in, the things we decide to watch, the things, and I'm right there with you. We all are in this boat together. The things we let in that cloud up our mind that I laid last night. I told Melanie I was just restless, and I would wake up thinking about things that are insignificant. And then you try to think, well, why am I thinking about that? And then you think about something else insignificant. My mind was just cloudy, and I just couldn't get out of this fog to rest. The second way, the first one is choices we make, things you do to yourself. The second way is what people do to you. And if ever this is true, this time of year, from Thanksgiving to Christmas and now New Year's, this is true because the devil will sure use some folk to mess you up. And most of the time it's who? Family. But let me tell you something, though. This is not about the argument you have between you and your family. It's more about the devil getting you so polluted in your heart and your mind that you can't hear God. That you can't think straight. Has anybody ever been so angry that you can't even form a complete sentence? Really? None of y'all? Every hand should be in there because I know y'all are lying. Like so angry that you want to, even if you wanted to cuss them out, let them have it, you can't even form a word. You just, you know, it just scrambles your brain. Completely messes you up. Some of you, my little brother used to be this way. We would mess with him, and we'd get him aggravated, and then he would try to fuss at you, and he would just turn beet red. But he couldn't get a sentence out because he had a temper, and he would get so mad and so aggravated, it just would throw him for a loop. I remember, this has probably been maybe 10 years ago. Oh, no, it would have been about 8 years ago because Mabel was a baby. And I went to a restaurant, and Melanie and I were going to meet there, and I called her and said, hey, I'm just going to go in and get a table. And so I went in and beat her to the restaurant, and she had Emma and Mabel. Mabel was in a baby carrier, and she opens the door, and she is just soaking wet. The girls are wet. Melanie's just wet from head to toe. And she came over, and, you know, the old saying, madder than a wet hen. It worked. I could just see it in her face. If you know Melanie, she doesn't get mad very often. She was mad. And I said, what happened? She goes, well, we were going to park next door, but I went to park next door to the business that's closed, and then there's nobody there. And as I went to get out, because it's pouring down rain, it's close to the door, so I was going to grab the girls and run in. The man in the business came out and told me I couldn't park there, that he was going to tow my car, even though his business is closed. And how many of you know, as a husband and a father, I know I look righteous and holy and got it all together, but I came unglued. I told Melanie, I just got up. I couldn't even explain to her what I was going to do. And I went outside the restaurant, kicked the door open, was like, come on, buddy. I mean, you can do a lot to me, but you start messing with my wife and kids, and it's 40 degrees outside, and my newborn standing out in the rain, my wife is wet, my 5-6-year-old is soaking wet too. We got issues. And thank God he wasn't out there. I don't know that I would be standing here today. But I got so I was so polluted. I know God was going, stop, stop. You're about to do something dumb. Stop, stop. But I couldn't hear it because my heart and my mind was so polluted. The devil pollutes things so you just can't hear God. And you need to understand this. The pollution is just simply stuff we haven't given to God. You know, I don't think the word repent, you hear some preachers going, repent, repent. Like you're some filthy, dirty animal. I don't think, repent is not a bad word. Repent is simply going, okay, God, I can't deal with this. I need you to forgive me. Can you deal with this? So the polluted heart is just simply, got stuff you need to get rid of. Look at the Bible says in James 1, it says, get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives, and then do what? And then just listen to what God's got laid out for you. Listen to what he says. Get rid of it. Listen to that. Humbly accept the word that's planted in your hearts. Now you can hear it because you've gotten rid of the filth. You need to know this. New life can't start until you turn from the old. New life can't start until you turn around from the old stuff. If we're constantly trying to deal with the old and look back toward the new, it's never going to happen. If you keep adding clear water to muddy water, it's just going to make more muddy water. You're never going to have that perfectly clean, clear that the Bible talks about that God does with us when we let Jesus take over and take the problems and take our sin and confess it to him. Look at the second one in verse 13. Luke chapter 8, verse 13. It says the seeds on the rocky soil represented those who hear the message and then are what? Are happy about it. Receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, then they fall away or wilt when they face temptation. In other words, they get it, they're excited, and now that I'm going to start trying, but something else catches my attention. Something else becomes priority. Something else becomes first. And this is what Jesus is calling the distracted heart. The distracted heart makes it really, really hard to hear God's voice. And it can even be something good. It can really be anything that what has your attention. Let me give you a big one for me. I'm using myself as example in most everything I'm saying today. So this, I'm walking through this with us. I'll just be honest with you, and I took it off so I could use it. I love my phone. I like being connected to the world. I don't like thinking I'm missing something. Melon and I went on a cruise, and I had my phone. I had a habit, go over and look at my phone. Well, we purposely didn't turn anything on. So I would just go over. It was basically a big watch. Go over and look and put it down. I was just so not used to being disconnected from the world, but it was good for me. But let me tell you, even with the amazing things we can do, we've gotten messages and emails and stuff that people have hit our podcast from funny all over the world in Lithuania. Right now, when I was in Honduras and with the guys that Sunday morning, y'all started worship, I recorded a message, I sent it back to Monica at the booth, and she instantly put it on the screen for y'all to watch. From Honduras in about 5 minutes, and y'all never knew the difference. So I love what we can do with it. But these things, they distract me. Anybody ever are affected by this? Can y'all show them the graphic? Anybody see the thing that bothers me up there? What is it? Somebody holler at me. What is it? What is it? The number 2? I don't care if it's 1 or 1,000,000. I am the guy. I can't. And you can ask my wife. It drives me nuts. If I have emails, I have to delete them. If I have messages or any other app, if y'all tweet or whatever, you send me something, I can't take just walking it around with it. Still, it just, ugh. What if it's the president and he needs my help? The world's coming to an end, and I skip. You know, Donald Trump tweeted me at Williams Clint, and I just miss it because I didn't pay attention to the little notification. See, my wife's completely different. I'll even grab her phone and start going, Like, she's not looking, like, because she's got like 4,000, nearly 4,000. I almost screen captured ours. I don't know what it is now. She's probably whittled it down. And I almost screen captured it, put it up there for you. Like, emails, like 4,372. See, 989. That's exactly, that's like 1,000 is crazy. So she's not almost there. But see, it's just such a distraction. I don't know why it is. Like, even when we do, you know, in January, we're doing the 7 days this year. And, you know, I try to fast a couple of days and, you know, and just kind of unplug from the world. I just, you know, and I'll come in here and pray and walk. And I'll put my phone down so I don't look at it. And I'll walk by, like, you know, or listen for the little, it just, I don't know why, it consumes me. But the distracted heart, you need to understand that the devil will throw all hell at you to keep you distracted. See, he doesn't have to necessarily get you to follow the devil. All he's got to do is get you to miss God. The devil doesn't have to get you to become a satanic priest or, you know, join a witch's coven or, you know, sacrifice animals in the shed in your backyard and be demonic. All he's got to get you to do is just miss God. He's just got to get you to miss that God's trying to stop you or tell you something or direct you because you're so distracted. You remember Martha and Mary in the Bible? Look at this verse. I love the way the Message Bible does this. This is in Luke chapter 10, verse 39. It says, Mary, who sat before the master doing what? Hanging on every word. Now, you need to understand, this is no different than you guys maybe sitting here today. You're all hearing the exact same thing. Martha and Mary were hearing the exact same words from Jesus. Jesus was not just giving one to her and then giving her something different. He was just speaking to them in general. And the Bible says that Mary was hanging on every word. But what does it say about Martha in verse 40? It says, but Martha was what? Pulled away. I'm going to tell you, this will snap some of you to attention. Some of you right now are thinking about lunch. You're thinking about your New Year's Eve party. You're thinking about what are the latest predictions for Georgia and Oklahoma tomorrow night. And really, who cares about Alabama and whoever they're playing? Right? See, even though you're sitting here hearing the same message, some of you, I know Mason over here, is like hanging on my every word. I can see it in his face. Like he's taking it in. His life is never going to be the same because he's hearing this perfectly prepared sermon message that I had today. But then somebody else in here is, you're thinking about the fact that there's a message on your phone you need to check. Are you just, your phone just vibrating, you got a text message. And it could be the president and he could need you to save the world. Right? She was being pulled away for the stuff she had to do in the kitchen. You need to know this, that to hear God's voice, I'm convinced of this, and we all need to figure out what it is. To hear God's voice, you need to turn something else down. I can't tell you what. What is it in your life? To hear God's voice, you're going to have to turn the knobs in your life, the volume knobs, and go, I can really turn this one down. This one's screaming way too loud. I don't know if you've noticed, but like during worship with Wesley and the band, we wear the headphones, and that lets us hear all the individual instruments. And there's just times when you have to go in and adjust and, like, whoo, Megan's loud, I got to turn her down. Ooh, Wesley's loud, I got to turn her down. You know, Isaiah's playing a little softer today, I got to turn him up, and you have to adjust. And you can't just go in there and keep turning everything up because what happens? It gets maxed out. You don't have room for anything else. Some of us need to go into our lives and go, okay, God, I need to turn this down. This phone or this TV show or this hobby is, you know, and I'm right there with you. I told y'all that I really started back hunting this year, and if I'm just careful, it just consumes me. Matter of fact, I'll just be honest with you, that's what I woke up last night thinking about. I got a new spot. I wonder if they're there. I wonder how cold it's going to be in the morning. I wonder which way the wind's blowing. I wonder if my camera got, I wonder if I put on the, I wonder, and I just, it consumes me because of the distracted heart. If devil can get you distracted, you'll miss it. But I had to go in and, you know what, I got to turn some of this down. If I'm ever going to hear God as we start 2018, I got to turn something down. The third one, Luke 8:14. Jesus says that the seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and they never what? They never grow up. They never grow up. The third one is the immature heart. And let me tell you, I'm not pointing at anybody, I'm including myself. We all got a lot of growing up to do. There's a lot of Christians who have been saved and, you know, known God for 15, 20, 30 years maybe. But we're walking around in Christian diapers. We're walking around in just complete immaturity. It amazes me. I was having a discussion with, if you guys remember, Pastor Jay Coleman from Louisiana, who was here a while back. And we were talking about the different generations and about how the generations, they're wanting to do mature things, but they're still acting like 10-year-olds. That they can't, they want to move forward and they expect to move forward, but they can't deal with what's right in front of them. They can't mature. Well, Christians are the same way. What do the weeds in this verse speak to? I'm going to tell you what they speak to. I mean, this is a little pastoral here, so it might get a little harsh, but I'm sorry. It speaks to neglect. If I ride by a farm and on one side of the road is a farm full of, you know, and come August, September, whatever, and there's, you know, corn 8 feet high, and then there's cotton, and then there's peanut, and just everything that's planted is just big and beautiful. And then on the other side of the road, the same amount of land, the same amount of water, the same amount of stuff, and it's all dead and shriveled. What does that speak to? Neglect. Some of us need to look at really seriously at our hearts, and we complain about stuff. We want God to speak to us, but we can't hear Him. We're expecting God to you know, we'll use an education thing and line of thought that to teach us some physics, to teach us some calculus, and God, tell me some deep stuff, and God's singing A, B, C, D, E. Right? We want God to, I need you to give me some direction. I need you to, do I do this? Do I follow this? God, I need you to teach me some critical thinking and some psychology and some this and that, or teach me how to tear this apart and build this back. Teach me. You know, and God's singing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's trying to teach you your numbers. If we're just honest, some of us will fit in here. You know, maybe 2 weeks ago, I went to Mabel, who is my critical thinking clone of my wife, smarter than I am, 8-year-old, soon to be 9-year-old daughter. And I went to her and said, hey, I need you to take care of this. This is your stuff. Gave her a set of instructions. A couple hours later, before I went to see her, I went and looked. She hadn't done it. And I went to her and said, Mabel, I asked you to. And before I could even finish, she didn't tell me, yes, I did it. She didn't say, no, Daddy, I'm sorry, I forgot. I didn't. She just launched into 15 different excuses. Well, and these weren't her exact words. She was like, the sun's up, the sun's down, the moon's up, the sky's blue, you know, water's wet, dirt's dirty, snow is cold. And she's just making, and I'm like, stop giving me excuses. And I think God's the same way with us. I have to imagine, I don't know, this is just my own thinking. I have to imagine at some point in heaven, God's speaking to us, and He does the parent face, like, anybody ever done that to your kids? Like, that's my thought of, okay, I don't want to smack you, but I'm about to smack you. So, and then you just take, you count to 10, because I'm not asking you for excuses. I think God is looking at us going, I'm not asking you for excuses. Why, her answer was nothing but excuses. The simple thing is, if you're an adult and you're still talking like a child, there's something wrong. And as Christians, before we start 2018, as we launch into next year, for some of us in some area of our life, maybe we just need to grow up. Sometimes our priorities get out of whack. Somebody, a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine a long time ago, told me this when I was called him and I was complaining. I was complaining about y'all. And I was like, God, they're not getting it. How do I get them? You know, we had a bad Sunday. I was, you know, it was off and I'm complaining. And he said, Clint, he goes, you just got to know this. And I said, know what? He goes, people do what they want to do. I was like, and it sounds so simple. It sounds so obvious, but that's the truth. We can make up excuses, but we do what we want to do. I get up in the morning. I'm not a morning person, but since October, guess what? I've gotten up a lot of early mornings. Bob's made me meet him here at 5:15 in the morning to go hunting. I didn't even know there was a 5:15 until October. But why? Because I want to. We do what we want to do. So before next time, and again, I'm just going to be honest. Can I just be honest for a minute? There's something that Melanie and I get told a lot. Anybody want to guess what that is? Anybody want to take a stab at it? That we as shepherds of the house hear a lot, if not weekly, at least monthly. Oh yeah, I'm going to come see you on Sunday. Just as sincere as the sun comes up in the morning. I'm going to come see you. I'm going to come visit. And it's hard to not be callous because she's like, okay, great. I would love to see you. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I'll start holding my breath now. I'm sorry. It's just, it's an issue in my heart I got to deal with. But the truth of the matter is, we say it and we don't really mean it. It's an excuse. And we do what we want to do. And then they don't come, whoever that was. They don't show, and they don't come. But they can give me a reason. Well, my kid's sick, my this, or this, and this, and this. But the bottom line is, we do what we want to do. That's this flesh, it does what it wants to do unless you make it submit and say, no, this is what we're going to do because it's going to be better for me. It's going to be better for me in the long term. Look what the Bible says. This one's not in your notes. In Hebrews 12, this is a good word version. And I like the way this read. It says, since we are surrounded by so many examples of faith, we can't say there's nobody to teach me and guide me, because just in this room alone, there are guys that I trust, guys that I follow, guys that I ask questions, and I'll sit down, even with Mr. Charles Oglesby back there, we'll sit down and have a discussion. And if you want to go deep, find that brother. He'll go deep with you. And talk about the world. And there's examples in this room of faith. There's examples of people that teach us. But it says that we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially that sin that what? Just distracts us. Distracts us and keeps us in that immaturity. And then it says in verse 2, we must run the race ahead of us and never give up. And then do what? Just focus. You want to grow up? Focus on Jesus. How do I do that then, Pastor? Well, let me tell you. In the end of January, grow groups start back. Get in a grow group. If you've not done it, do the growth track. The first Sunday in February, this growth track starts back. Get in that. Get on a dream team. Serve. Serve in the ushers, the greeters, the nurseries, the sound booth, the praise team. We've got a coffee team now. You can join the coffee team. They actually need some help. If you like coffee, we got a spot for you. Somebody's got to make the coffee that y'all enjoy on the way in every morning. It doesn't just magically appear. Somebody's got to do that. If you want to grow up, focus on His voice. Find what you're supposed to do and go do it. See, maturity comes. Go ahead and throw it up there for me. Maturity comes when excuses stop and changes start. People tell me, I want to grow up. I want to do big for God. Well, you got to stop telling me why you can't and start telling me what you're doing because you want to. Notice I didn't say that when you stop your excuses, suddenly become mature. When you stop your excuses, you now have the ability to mature, to do something different, to grow. I was watching an interview with one of the top college prospects in the NCAA, and he announced that I'm coming back for my senior year. I'm not gonna go to the NFL because he says I'm not mature yet. I got some more stuff I need to learn, and I need to learn it. I'm gonna start working now, so by next year we'll have learned it. He stopped making excuses, turning down millions of dollars because he realized I need to do some other stuff. I need to get better. I need to make some changes. Now the fourth one. The fourth heart condition that Jesus explains to his disciples in Luke 8:15. It says, and the seeds that fell on good soil represent what? Honest, good-hearted people. That's not good-hearted necessarily like, you know, they're just nice people, but it's whose people whose hearts are in good condition, who have been listening and hearing his voice. They cling to God's word and then do what? Oh, there's that word. I hate that word. Patiently. We want God to make me mature. I can hear your voice, and then boom, I want to have a harvest now. It's not a tithing message, but I hear it all the time. People start understanding and giving, you know, the tithe is easy, it's 10%, and they start tithing, and they come to me and say, Clint, I've been tithing for like 2 weeks now, and nothing's changed. Well, maybe we got a little growing up to do. Maybe your seed's got to actually grow. They produce a harvest. Number four is the prepared heart. You can't just walk out your backyard, run down to Walmex or Davis or one of the feed stores and go grab a bunch of plants and seeds and then walk out in your backyard and just throw them out there. And then come back 6 months later and go, where are my tomatoes? I planted peppers, I planted tomatoes, I planted peas, I planted it. Where are they? They're dead right there where you laid them. Because if you want to produce fruit, it takes a little preparation. And that's where we're going now. That's where we're headed toward as we do restart 2018. We, in the next couple of weeks, are going to talk about preparing ourselves, preparing, you know, why does God speak to us? How does he speak to us? Go ahead now so that when we start the week and you're praying and just having a conversation with God and you feel like he's telling you something, that you'll recognize his voice. You'll hear his voice. You'll respond to it. This is our goal as we start the restart, to not only respond to his voice, but to follow it. Okay, then how do I do that, Pastor? Fine, you want to tell me that? I'm going to tell you. There's three things you can do to prepare your heart. Then the next three things on your list. The first one, it's not a dirty word, it's repent. Everybody in the room's got something that they put before God, something that is not right, something we need to just go, God, I'm sorry. I'll tell you my heart, what I told you about, yeah, we'll see you on Sunday. I have to repent about once a month for that. Now, if any of you are coming today to tell me that you'll see me next Sunday, you can still tell me you'll see me next Sunday, because I'm okay. But it's just giving those things over. Repent. Repent is simply this, a change of direction. And I know for some of you, you need to hear this. No matter what your thing is, some of you are already classifying the things you need to repent for as big, little. You just need to know this. Don't sweat it. The Bible doesn't put any qualifications on receiving grace and mercy other than just telling God, I'm sorry, I need you to help me. That's repentance. Don't sweat it. Some of you are trying to figure out, well, I can't repent because I need to fix this. I can't repent because I need to do this. I can't. No, you just need to tell God, listen, I screwed it up, but I need you just to take it. And if we start doing that now, I believe that week of just pursuing God becomes different. And the result of it is forgiveness. The result of repentance in God's eyes and through Jesus is forgiveness. And some of you are just longing and crying and thirsty for some forgiveness in your lives. The second thing is this, refocus. I was going to use the word restart, but I didn't want to get confused. You can say restart. Stop making excuses and start making changes. And I'm telling you, I'm leading the way. Melanie and I were talking about some things maybe we're going to try to do different in 2018 to get better. And she said, well, if I do this, will you do it with me? Yes. Do I want to do it? No. But if you'll do it, I'll follow you and we'll do this thing together. We'll get it done. We're going to make changes. Some of it may be that you just need to start reading your Bible again. Some of you may need to really kind of start for the first time. I know, again, we're talking about the phone and the distractions of phones, but I would rather you at least read the Bible on your phone, download the app. If you don't have the phone that you can put a Bible on, get a little Bible, but just begin to read. Do the one-year Bible. Don't worry about where you are if you've fallen off doing it. Just start. Read the Bible. Some of it may just be some worship music on your way to work. Instead of going to turn your knob to Bob, turn it over to 88.3 or the Christian radio. I know sometimes I hate the music they play too, but just put it on there. Turn on your Spotify list. Find us. A matter of fact, if you want to do something else, if you do Spotify, go look for BC Sylvania on Spotify. You can follow our list. We'll just make them public. You can follow the list that we play pre-service, the list that we play for during our prayer time, and just turn on some worship. Don't sing. Just kind of let God show up. Kind of let God refocus you so that we can begin to hear His voice. Let me ask this one. This is another little pastoral, might be a little harsh, but let me give you this. And you're here today, so maybe not, it doesn't apply to you. But here's the biggest thing that Christians fail to do to refocus. Just show up. Show up. Show up for Sunday. Show up for your grow group. Show up to serve. Show up when we do the outreaches and we do the egg drops. Show up when we feed people. Show up when they pack back. Just put the priority first, because people do what they want to. Show up. We can laugh all we want to, and it is a joke, and I made jokes about Alabama getting lost and not showing up for the game, or Georgia. You know what? I can promise you this. If they don't show up, guess what? They lose. They don't get a chance to figure out whether they can be national champions. They don't get a chance to know whether they can break records. If any of those teams just says, you know what, I'm just going to sleep. And we laugh, but we do it all the time. Refocus. Show up. Put the priority of God first, and then show up. Do what God's asked you to do. And then the last one is simply revive. And this is simply asking God, you guys can come on up, simply asking God, do something in me. I love this imagery. The Bible says when God created Adam and Eve, He took a bunch of mud, He piled it up, and then He did what? Then the Bible says He went and just blew life into them. Some of us just need to ask God when we start 2018 in the morning, maybe tonight at midnight, go, God, I need you to blow some life into me. I don't know what it is. I don't know what I need you to do, but I just need you to do something in me. Blow life into me. Bring life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7, it says, let's make a clean break. With everything that defiles us, distracts us both within and without, make our entire lives what? Fit and holy. In other words, make it right so that I can follow God, so that I can worship God. That we repent, we refocus, we ask God to revive us, prepare ourselves, because here's the truth. This is your last blank and we're going to close up shop. Here's the truth. God's voice is clearest in a prepared environment. If you want to hear God, prepare the environment. Prepare the environment of your heart. Now, am I saying you can't hear God in an unprepared environment? No. I'm saying it's easier. Why do it the hard way when we could do it the easy way? I want to hear God, prepare the heart. Prepare the heart. Prepare the soil of my heart. Prepare my mind to not be distracted. Prepare my mind to not be immature. Prepare my mind to just be ready. To clear the pollution. Why don't you bow your heads? Let's pray. Before you put your stuff away, just kind of be still. Just for a minute. Give me 1 minute and we'll be out of here. God, I just ask you, as we roll out of 2017 into 2018. God, I ask you just to come to this house, to our people, those maybe visiting, you get included today too, to just bring life. Refocus us, restart areas that need to be restarted, stop areas that need to be stopped. Father God, and let your grace and mercy begin to pour out over us, that we can be exactly where you want us to be every day of 2018. That we hear your voice and respond every day. Every time you speak, Father, we listen, understand, and obey. And I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name.